You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let me bang.
I do.
Bang.
Let you bang.
Let me bang. Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No, for gay Jesus people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that? Why are you, is this to make you thinner?
Whatever.
You're like sideways.
I don't know what's going on, man. This thing is, it's so messed up. Let me try this way, hold on.
Okay.
I don't know why, like this, it's a stupid little holder thing that isn't working.
All right, ready and action. Hey, everyone, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Sean McCorkle, who makes me look and feel like young when it comes to technology, as well as the Ween Dog.
What's up, dude?
Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you have a happy new year, McCorkle. McCorkle, how come when I call you to actually talk, you don't pick up? Like, sometimes I just want to just, like, sometimes I actually just want to, like, bullshit with you. And you never answer the phone.
Because I live in the middle of nowhere where meth heads flow like wine, and I don't get phone service. So literally, like, if I have an emergency, I'm just out of luck if they don't take, if I can't call them via messenger. So
that's crazy. And they can't get it, like, straightened out?
No, because I hooked up with this HughesNet, like, satellite company. They were supposed to send me a satellite phone that worked, you know, all the time in case I have an emergency or something. I still don't have it. I still can't even watch Netflix out there. Like, I can't do anything. Like, I have virtually no internet service at all. So I usually bring this all the way into, I come all the way back into Indianapolis, like an hour from my house to do this podcast. So I've got Wi-Fi somewhere. So.
Are you wow. serious? That's how committed I am. I'm sorry about that, man.
That's why every now and then I'm a little bit late. Cause I'm like, well, I got stuck in traffic for 45 minutes. That's why I'm late on the podcast. So
there's gotta be something you can do.
Dude, I know the podcast to McCorkle's farm.
Yeah,
cable modem's like 1,000 megabytes per second, and I get 25. That was my last test. So,
oh my god!
So I think I'm going to go to DSL next, and then dial up after that. Like, I'm going to move up down the chain, like the Benjamin Button of the internet. So,
dude, I would be furious. I'd probably just give up at that point. I'd be like, you know,
well, what's funny is the lady, the satellite company. Not that this is interesting at all, but the satellite company. They tell me, well, we're giving you faster than we promised. I was like, but you also promised I would have internet. Like, it takes me 10 minutes to get an email. Like, you know what I mean? Like, download my email. Like, you guys made a lot of promises, you know?
I remember you texted me, like, how bad was the Wi-Fi? I go, well, so not, it's not Don Fry bad.
Right. But, yeah. That's the bar. When the bar's set that low, it's a problem.
So how was your guys' New Year's? What did you do about Window? What did you do?
Man, it kind of sucked, dude. I only got to see like a few of my family members because, you know, my dad bailed. He's with his new family. And then I visited like my liberal sister and her husband. They're like the ones that watch CNN. So they take COVID extremely serious. You have to wear a face mask there. You have to wear a hazmat suit. You have to disinfect everything. And just like being in that environment is such a bummer, especially around the holidays when you're sitting there. Like, what are we doing, guys? You have to wear a mask inside and even outside. It just sucks. So I didn't get to see all my family. I didn't really get any cool presents. I got a gift card for like $30, but I use that on groceries. But that's pretty much it, dude. How was that yours?
Sean, what'd you do?
I actually went to bed, I think, about 10:30 that night. That's how boring my life was. Like, I refuse to wear a mask. Like, I just absolutely refuse. Like, I went to the license branch the other day, and I was in line for an hour and a half outside in the rain. And I got up there and they said, sure, you have to wear a mask. I said, no, I'm good. And if I can stand out in the rain for an hour and a half, I can come in without a mask. And then she was like, are you willing to accommodate us? I said, how? She goes, will you put a piece of paper in front of your face? And I said, well, I walk around with a piece of paper in front of my face. And she said, yeah. I said, no, I'm not willing to do that. And she goes, well, we can't service you then. And I was like, even though I'm protesting for Black Lives Matter, and it was a black girl I said it to, and she got really confused. So it got awkward, so I just left. But
God,
that line doesn't work when you're dealing with someone who does support Black Lives Matter, I guess. So.
But Corkle, you really need like your own like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I swear to God, it's sort of like Curb Your. You're basically like Eastbound and Down.
Right. That's a high compliment.
Meets like MMA.
Ashley Schaefer. I want to at least be Ashley Schaefer if I'm gonna be Eastbound and Down.
Who's Ashley Schaefer? Who's that?
Please tell me you know who Ashley Schaefer is, like Will Ferrell on Eastbound and Down.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, that was probably my favorite role of Will Ferrell. I've heard nothing but horror stories about Will Ferrell in real life. People I know that work with him say he's like not a nice person, but really? But that role was like it killed me. So I actually was in Vegas doing comedy all week last week, which was amazing. You know, like I did a Zoom show last night, and like before that, like going from live comedy to Zoom is like having sex without a condom and then getting kicked in the balls. it's just, but it felt so good to make people laugh, and people that are there like want to laugh. Like they're not going to get some of the shows were kind of like, there were some people that were maybe too drunk or something. Like I did a joke where I go, you know, say the average guy burns 400 calories an hour during sex, which means during sex, I burn 7 calories. And then I hear, that's not a lot. I'm like, I know that was the whole point of the joke. Like if I would say 175 calories, you wouldn't laugh because you'd be like, oh, that's what. And she's like, oh, okay. And then another show, I'm like, anybody have any questions? Somebody goes, yeah, I don't understand joke number 147. Like he counted the jokes. I was like, I was like, what joke was that? He goes, I should have known my wife was trouble because the first time I fingered her, I pulled out a red flag. And he goes, the red flag one. I go, okay. You know how sometimes like things are signs of like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be here or this is going to be trouble. It was like, oh, it was a red flag. Well, when I fingered her a flag, like this is going to be, oh, I get it. I go, for example, right now your date, it should be a red flag that you didn't get that joke. And that, like, I was just, dude. So some of the people were not exactly like, I don't know, maybe they're too drunk or too stoned or something, but it was awesome. That was like, I was so happy. And then it was, but then it was hard because I got invited to, I've been hanging out, Caraway came to my joke, Brian Caraway. And then the night before I hung out with Pyle and John Gunderson, and I got invited to Caraway's party, and I got invited to Misha Tate's party on New Year's Eve. Oh, and like, I'm better friends with Caraway, but I'm like, Tate's party's gonna be probably off the hook. So I told my wife and I went to neither party. I stayed home because Caraway literally was like, hey, come to this party. It's at a bar and they don't enforce masks. They're like anti-mask bar. And then my wife's like, well, you better wear a mask if you go there. I'm like, I'm not going to be the only one wearing it. So then that was that.
But wait, by the way, Caraway is looking thick, dude. He is looking thick.
He's probably about, I mean, I would say almost 200. And he was like a 135 pounder.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's only because you've seen him before. Like, if you were to just see Brian Caraway, you wouldn't be like, that guy's fat or chubby. You'd be like, that's right. But because you see him out, you saw how he was at 135.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, he's like, hey, want to go train together? And I was like, all right. So I'm like, I do. He's like, he goes, I want to teach you some jujitsu moves, right? I'll teach you some good stuff. So I have no headgear, and I have cauliflower ear. I had surgery in my ear in college to get rid of my cauliflower ear. It was that bad. And this is before MMA was cool. So I have like plastic in my ear, basically. And then I have a fake tooth. I'm getting hit by a car and getting my tooth knocked out. So now I have no headgear and I have no mouth guard. But I'm like, fuck it, let's go, right? Brilliant idea. So I like go there, and Caraway showed me some really cool techniques, some really good guard passes and stuff. Then he's like, let's go live, right? And I'm like, all right, we'll go some live. You don't realize how good these MMA, these UFC guys, like when a guy's ranked third in the world at one point, I don't think, I obviously, like you forget like how badass these people are. Plus, I don't know any submissions. So I was, I just know, and I was doing wrestling and he was doing jiu-jitsu. But I kept getting in on like a single, and I was getting in deep, and then my neck was choked. And I'm like, all right, I'm like, I'm not being a hero this time. I'm going to tap. But man, that dude is I think he had a fight recently in Russia or somewhere where he went over there, a bunch of fighters went and none of them got paid. And he won it, and he won his fight and he still hasn't got paid from that fight, like not a dollar.
Wow.
And I think that was like so he hasn't fought since then, which sucks because if you look at his record, you know, he beat Aljamain Sterling two fights ago, or three fights ago. And then he also beat Eddie Wineland. And so he's basically, he's 2-2 in his last, like fights, losing the guy, Cody Stamann. He lost somebody else that was really good. The guy that knocked out Cody Garbrandt. I think he lost Asensio.
Yeah.
But he's really good. He's just, it's just mental. Like, I think just something, he just kind of just broke a little bit. It was MMA and, yeah, you know, Misha and the whole thing. But, I hope he comes back. Cause he showed me a lot and he was really, really cool with it. At the same time, he wasn't going to let me get in on these doubles and singles. So,
wow. He is looking for an organization to fight with.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, anything you want to say?
Yeah. I was thinking, man, I felt the same way. You know, you're talking about sparring with Caraway. When I was fighting Mark Hunt for the shorter time it lasted, I was thinking, man, he's way better than me. Like while we were fighting, man, he's a lot faster than I am, and he's got better reflexes. And luckily, he doesn't have any submission defense. But yeah, I was thinking at the time, I was thinking this dude is no joke, man. Like I mean, I'd sparred with Mitch Rione and Tim Sylvia and guys like that, but never with anybody that kind of, I don't know, that kind of hand speed, accuracy, and just when it's live, it's a whole different speed. You know, no matter how hard you spar live, it's just a whole different speed, man. So. Yeah, I remember thinking I was in trouble till I ended up winning. But up until that point, I thought, man, I'm getting my ass kicked this fight. So.
No, I mean, Caraway and his friend, Pete, who's also a pro fighter, they were like giving me high accolades. Like, man, your wrestling is really good. Like, holy shit. Like, I didn't think they'd expect me to get on singles and doubles. And I wasn't doing jiu-jitsu. I was just doing wrestling. he gave me a lot of love, a lot of props. But I just like, I went in for a low single and within 4 seconds, my neck's out. I'm like, fuck, like, yeah. I'm like, you just forget really quickly sometimes, like how he's a dangerous guy and he's a nice guy. I think he's kind of a misunderstood guy. I know that I gave him a lot of shit with Misha because he was like a fun guy to hate and he did some like stupid things, you know, like he said, like when he got the bonus, when they took it away from somebody and gave it to him because the guy tested positive for weed. And instead of like being gracious, he was like, well, you shouldn't smoke pot. You know, he did some stupid things and. You know, he threatened to knock out Ronda Rousey's teeth on Twitter, like shit like that, where you're just like, ugh. But when you actually hang out with the person, he's not then he was like, he's not going to be saying this, but then afterwards he was like, hey, man, what are you doing later? I'm like, I got, you know, show. He's like, yeah, well, do you want to come over tomorrow? Me and my friend, we just play board games and it's really cool. We get very competitive. We play like, you know, like Monopoly. I'm like, I'm good. But thank you. but it was like super nice, you know, like really nice. Like, I don't know. It was like kind of, I don't know. I was like, that's whatever. But anyway, so
hilarious.
We got a real intense game of Yahtzee lined up. Like, it's about to be on.
It's like, I'm 42, man. I got kids. I'm fucking trying to get my dude. So a couple years ago, I don't even want to talk. All right. So, what else is going on? So my therapist, I've been in therapy now, which has been like very helpful. I started seeing therapy at the therapist again during the pandemic because, you know, as a comic, as a comedian, it's like, no matter how bad your day goes and how fucked up you are and how much you feel like things aren't going well, your stand-up comedy at night is like your therapy in a lot of ways. Like, you feel good. You're making people laugh. They're thanking you. You're making people cry sometimes at laughter. It's like, and you give up so much for it, relationships, money, everything. So now during the pandemic, and I'm not saying it's easier for other people, other professions, it's not, but for a comic, you don't get that. And it's easy for some comics to go into a depression because of it. Cause you're not getting that outlet. And I noticed that, like, you know, I needed to kind of, you know, get that outlet and, you know, just become a mental, you know, healthier mentally. So I started seeing a therapist again. Which has been super good. My wife's in the room, so I will go. It's okay. I'll go somewhere else. Okay, so.
He immediately just walks out of the room and goes somewhere else.
So anyway.
Lord knows she can't watch this back later to see what you say.
No, it's not that. It's just, so my therapist is actually like attractive. And we're just doing it on Zoom. And then my wife gets upset because She's like, why don't you tell me these problems? And I'm like, because you're not on my insurance. but anyway, so anybody out there who is thinking about mental health, I would highly recommend it because I know that I'm in a much better place because of it.
I can give you a tip that'll save you some money on future marriage counseling is don't talk about how attractive other women are in front of your wife. Like that's that would be a good start.
I know. I just thought that was funny. I thought people would be entertained by that story. So when I was in Vegas, by the way, so you know, I'm there by myself, and every night, no matter who was in the room next door, I could hear them fucking. You hear like to the point where like I want to start moaning just to like make them feel uncomfortable. And then New Year's Eve, I hear a woman. And she starts yelling, make it rain, make it rain, motherfucker, make it rain. Like at 3 a.m, at 4 a.m, at 4:30. Finally, I was like, I got to do something about this. So I knocked on her door and this black woman comes in, attractive woman. She's like, can I help you? I'm like, she's like, was that being too loud? I said, sorry, it's his birthday. And I was like, yeah. And I just gave her $2. I'm like, I want to help make it rain. And then I just heard like, get back in the room. Like they did not find that funny at all. Like they were like pissed. The guy was pissed. She was like, oh, thank you, honey. Like it didn't even, she didn't miss a beat, but he was not laughing at all.
Wait, was this the couple that was banging? Were these the people that were banging?
Yeah, no, I think it was a different. Yeah, oh, okay. yeah, exactly. I gave her $2.
It was actually there's a couple that work real like me.
What was that?
And they were like, make it rain. The Lake Mead is down to record levels. I don't know. Anyway.
Exactly. Meanwhile, so I'm on the treadmill and there's two people in the gym. It's a big gym in the hotel. And I noticed the other guy is wearing his mask, right? But like, he's on like the weights. So I said to him, hey man, do I have to wear my mask? But I don't want to wear my mask when I run on the treadmill. I'm 20 feet away from the guy. He's like, don't worry about it, right? I'm running 5 miles. I'm doing 5 miles a day. And this guy walks in who works at the gym and he's like, you got to wear your mask while you run. I'm just like, so then every time he like walks out of the room, I take it off, like just put it down so I can breathe. So now I'm playing like avoid the, like now it's one of those things where like I was the only one there. Like the other guy left. Like I had to wear a mask by myself in the room while I ran 5 miles. I couldn't breathe that well. I mean, I could, but it was like, it was a silk mask. It was my wife's. And, you know.
A silk mask. I haven't played a game this intense, so I was hanging out with Caraway playing Scrabble. Game is going on here.
All right. Let's talk about, that was, and then finally, like, so, first of all, two things. I'm on my Venmo, right? Now there's people asking for money for Venmo. Like, I don't even know. Like there's like, college kids or I don't know if they're like, you know, homeless or whatever, but they're like, hey man, do you have $5 you can give me because you know I got to give it to my mom or because I want to buy my mom a present. I don't know who these people are, right? But that is the laziest form of panhandling I've ever seen. Like back in my day, like you had to go on the street. Like there was like respect in that. Yeah, like there was an honor in being like a bum. You know, now on fucking Venmo,
you've got a juggle or something. Offer me a bottle of water or something.
No, I mean, like, look, I was driving home from Vegas and I'm filling up my gas. And this woman, she must have been in her 20s, maybe 30s, didn't, you know, a little, not the hottest girl you've ever seen, but, like, you know, like, I don't know, it's just average, whatever. I'm trying to do brown hair, you know. She comes to me, she's like, hey, she goes, excuse me. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'm the biggest moron in the world. I'm so stupid. I have no money for gas. Do you have any extra dollars or change? And I was like, at first I said, no, I'm sorry. I didn't have any dollars. And I go, you know what? Is that your car? I saw her car. I go, I'll fill up your gas for you. You know, so I go there and I gave her $20 worth of gas. Right. So, but now I'm worried about getting robbed because I'm like, how do I know this isn't a setup? Or like, I go fill up someone's gas and then, which luckily it wasn't, but it was the same station one time where I was smart because there was a time where I go fill up my gas and I go there and it's $180 to fill up my tank. I go, what the fuck? So I go to the guy at the station. He goes, yeah, you filled it up with race car fluid.
Oh, like, my God. I didn't know
that was an option. Like, I just go to the – I mean, my car ran amazing. But, like, why is there even race car fluid? I got home in 4 minutes. But, like, I don't, like, that's an option?
The whole time Adam was filling up his car, the gas station attendant's like, make it rain. Make it rain.
Yeah, dude. Good yeah. Lord. So this is my week, by the way. So that's what's going on. Fighting. I guess the next big one is Michael Chandler is now fighting Dan Hooker. That should be a good fight.
You know, Hooker's the favorite too, the betting favorite. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it. I think Chandler. I don't know why I'm picking Chandler. I like Dan Hooker a lot. I think that Dan's fought better guys. I mean, the Pitbull brothers are good, but Dan, aside from them, I gotta say Dan has been there with better competition. He hits really hard. I mean, he knocked out Gilbert Burns, and Chandler's chin might not hold up. I don't know who I'm picking for this fight. I take that back. Sean, who are you picking?
I'm picking Chandler, man. I think Chandler reminds me a little bit of Gaethje, man. Like, a lot of people didn't know about him coming over from World Series, you know, or whatever. But if you'd seen him fight, you knew he could really, really fight, man. And there's usually that one fight adjustment, so maybe that may be a bad news for Chandler, you know, that one fight. Like, everybody comes to UFC. But I think Chandler's one of the best couple guys in the world, man. I really do. I don't think he, I don't think he's beating Khabib, but I think he's right there with anybody else. So,
Ween Dog?
I'm going to pick Dan Hooker. I think he's so talented on the feet, and a lot of people forget that Dan Hooker, his nickname is the Hangman, dude. He has phenomenal jiu-jitsu. His guillotine is nasty. So Michael Chandler better think twice if he thinks about shooting in on Dan Hooker, because you got to really watch out for his guillotine. But I understand why he's a favorite. I think he was a minus 175 last time I checked. So I think it's a safe bet. I like the fight, and I'm still going to stand by Dan Hooker until the very end. I think he's going to win.
But I was at that fight when he fought the Brazilian, the guy who did that crazy wheel kick.
Edson Barboza?
Yeah, and literally everybody at Cage side was pleading to stop that fight.
Yeah, that was rough.
Got the living shit beaten out of him. It was in Milwaukee. I was in Milwaukee for that fight, and I was front row. And, man, that was one of those fights where it was like, please. It was like Rocky. It was like Rocky versus the Russian, where they were like throwing the towel. By the way, speaking of which, what's his name? I wrote the monologue again for the MMA Awards, and Dolph Lundgren did a very good job. He kicked ass. It was on CBS Sports. He did a joke I wrote for him. He goes, well, Dana White was looking for a place for Fight Island. They needed a large spot that nobody with nothing in it. So they were going to pick Tito Ortiz's head.
And they were what?
Oh, they were going to pick Tito Ortiz's head. Yeah. By the way, Tito Ortiz, I don't know if you found the news. So, you know, he's like the mayor of Huntington Beach now.
The city councilman.
Something like it.
So he goes to a food drive for COVID and doesn't wear a mask and gets kicked out of his own food drive as the mayor. like the mayor got kicked out of the food drive that he threw on. Like, it was his food drive. like, this is only the beginning. I can't wait for these Tito Ortiz mayor. I mean, how funny is that?
Like, it is like a TV show, dude. It's like, it's weird because he's obviously like super like conservative Trump supporter, but I think he takes it like too far. I feel like he's like trying to be like this conservative Republican, like Proud Boys hero for these like conservative people like me, but it's just so cringy because he's not executing it like correctly. It's so bizarre. Like, he got in a fight with some dude who like confronted him in the parking lot of like Ralph's grocery store, and you know, they're like arguing like about whatever it was. And it's just, I mean, all respect to Tito. I'll vote for him if he runs for president 100%.
Come on. Why? You would vote for Tito for president?
Hell yeah, dude. Why
we'd
not?
We'd be in like 17 wars by like noon.
Oh my God. Like, I mean,
he would invade Chuck Liddell's house.
Like, I think the interesting thing will be who has more, who messes up when they're talking more. Apparently me. No, you mess up when they talk more, Tito or Joe Biden. I think that'll be interesting because Tito likes to say things out of tense, like that guy's being racism. Like, he just says things that are completely, just things. I don't know what else to say, but that was spectacularation. Like, is that even a word? Like, what is going on?
He's the best. He's actually like, I mean, I think he's got a good heart. I do. I think he means well for the most part. I just also think he is like the most competitive human being on the planet. Like, so like he will let nothing go. Like if you cross him, there's nothing that would stop. Like, he's just one of those dudes that like, I don't know. Have you watched, by the way, have you watched the new Cobra Kai?
I haven't seen, but I only seen, because of my spectacular internet, I've only seen the first three episodes of season three. I'm dying to see the rest. I'm holding out that Terry Silver is going to be in it, because that's the greatest movie character of all time, maybe besides Brad Wesley in Roadhouse. But yeah, I cannot wait for Terry Silver to make an appearance. I keep telling everybody not to tell me. My cousin hit me up the other night and was like, man, can you believe Johnny and Daniel teamed up at the end of season three? I said, I really can't believe it, because I'm on episode two of season three. But thanks, man. Like,
I fucking hate that, dude. Honestly, like... Yeah. I'd rather somebody tell me when I'm going to die in my life than a spoiler a fight for me, because like, there's nothing worse than when I used to like DVR a fight or, you know, TiVo a fight. And like, I'd have to work that night, or I'd pay $75 for a pay-per-view and then my phone gets blown up. And even if like, they don't tell me who won, I could figure out who won by the text. Like, man, that was a crazy knockout. And I know if it's like Ben Askren fighting, you know, Masvidal,
anybody,
it's not fucking Askren that got the knockout. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I went crazy. By the way, you told me one time, Corporal, one of the funniest things about that Terry Silver, that that's something that you would do is like,
What? Are you still there?
Yeah.
What just happened?
I just found out our nanny has COVID. But we haven't seen her in 2 weeks. So she has been here in like a week and a half, right? 2 weeks. So I think we're okay.
You're fine. COVID's not real anyways.
Yeah. Best wishes to the
COVID neighbor. Is very real. That is not how this podcast thinks. That is Ween Dog's opinion.
Yep.
Not the opinion of me or the
my opinion, 100%.
Okay, that's the problem now, man. You get in trouble for somebody else saying something. Could you imagine how like that? Like, imagine like Larry King would get in trouble for everybody who he went on his show and said stuff. It's just like crazy that you get in trouble for somebody else's opinion now. You're like, wait, so. I don't want to have a person on my show because if he says something, I get in trouble. Like, well, what about, how do we get to know how that person feels about anything? It's just, that's the worst part of cancel culture, is that like, you're like, that's basically saying, okay, somebody on the Yankees test positive for steroids. So now the whole team can't play. I'm like, well, but fucking, so the whole season's canceled because A-Rod got fucking canceled. You know, it's just, anyway.
No reward. Back with Terry Silver, no, you are correct on Terry Silver. Like, Terry Silver in that movie is a multi-billionaire businessman who wants to get even with a teenage kid for winning a karate tournament. And he's willing to stop his business, stop everything, and make his whole life about just getting even with a 17-year-old karate student. And I thought that sounds exactly like something I would do if I were a billionaire. Like, somebody made me mad, I would shut everything down and go for pure revenge. He loves every minute of it too. Like, Daniel LaRusso's he gets his knuckles to bleed and he has to like go out of the room and laugh to himself because he's so happy over it. Like, that dude, that character is so awesome, man.
That is so funny. Yeah. If you're a billionaire, you're going to go and just piss everybody off. Just to, like, do the most petty things. That's like, I actually, over the vacation, there's a series on YouTube of like who really won. And they go over like rap beefs, you know, like they have like Ja Rule versus 50 Cent. It's like a 2-hour thing that I invested in this. Like, but I didn't realize that, like, I always thought with that rap beef that 50 Cent kind of started it. And like, he kind of did, like he made a song about him, but Ja Rule like straight up like jumped him. Like, he went like in the beginning, him and Ja Rule were like squaring up and he wanted to talk to him. 50 punched him, but Ja Rule had a bat in his hand. And then like Irv Gotti and those guys beat up 50 Cent. Or they all, like, eight guys. Then they were in the recording studio like 2 years later and they found out they were in the same recording studio, and Ja Rule and Irv Gotti and them turn off the lights, came into the where 50 and his buddy were rapping and stabbed them. And then like a year later, 50 sent in his car, and I guess they might have something to do with it. It was like the guy who was funding the whole thing shot 50 Cent 9 times when he was in his car. So then when he came out and made like 30 songs about him, you're like, well, yeah, you don't fuck. I mean, anyway, but anyway, so now it's like years later, right? Ja Rule basically got involved with the Fyre Festival, like all this, like his career is kind of not doing very well. Fitty's on top, and Fitty was going to like buy 500 seats to Ja Rule's concerts just so it would be empty.
Like, genius.
Like, then he realized it was on. Then Ja Rule's like, the joke's on you. It's already going to be empty.
Yeah, like, and then he posted a video of Ja Rule singing and rapping, and he panned to the crowd, and there was nobody there except for 50 Cent going, "Bravo, bravo, bravo."
What is up, people? How's it going? What's going on? Are we ready for some football? Well, college football heads into bowl season, and there is some big matchups this weekend, right? And the NFL regular season is finishing up, but the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. What's that place? BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus, okay? I'm talking about in the NFL, in college football, okay? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Yes, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And you got to visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline underscore AG. That's at BetOnline underscore AG. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code CLNS50 for your first sign-up bonus, okay? Hashtag BetOnline. Check it out, okay? I highly, 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 highly recommend. It is awesome.
I'll tell you what, man, if there's in my 44 years of life, if there's anything I've learned that holds true, and I will say till the day I die, it's if anything's worth killing and dying over, it's when someone poorly rhymes words about you and doesn't wish you the best. You know, like if you ever hear, like, I always crack up when someone's like, "Hey, F this dude." I'm like, so really all you're saying is you don't hope good things happen to him. Like, you're not necessarily hoping bad things happen. I just don't wish for the best for that guy. And then people are like, "Oh, really? F me?" You know, or whatever. Like, they can't, like, you know, like, yeah, they can't say it. I have to use abbreviations because I'm at my mother's house. But it just cracks me up when people are like, "Oh wait," like I caught. I don't know if you guys remember Tristan Yunker. Probably not. He was a fighter in the early 2000s. He beat like 6 different UFC guys, but like he beat Clay Guida in a minute, like all these guys, but never got his chance in the UFC. And he talked just like Kip Dynamite, like if you've ever seen Kip Dynamite on Napoleon Dynamite, so he sound like. But he's the toughest dude ever. And I saw two dudes rap battling one time outside this club, like the night before Thanksgiving. And he started one to rap battle with him, and he had a little bit of a lisp, and the guy said something about him having a lisp in his rap battle, and Tristan just open hand smacked him like as hard as I've ever seen anyone get slapped. And the other dude's like, "Yeah, I bet you won't slap me." And he didn't even get the M out in me before he smacked him in the face too. And then he just kept smacking people in the face, like anybody that would try to rhyme about him and just get smacked. And like it took like 4 different people got slapped before they realized you probably should stop rap battling with him, you know, because he hadn't said anything back yet. He just kept smacking him in the face like it was like ridiculous. Wow. And so then he told him, like, they were going to try to jump him, and they were angling, like, "Well, yeah, come over here to the other side of the street." And I said, "Dude, he's going to beat you up. Don't do that." And he was like, "Listen, fellas, if we get in a fight, I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to slam you in the head on their concrete. And I'm going to knock both you guys out and then take your wallet." So, like, he actually told him everything was going to happen. And they went across the street, and exactly that happened. Like, one of them swung, he ducked, punched him in the face, knocked him out, picked the other dude up, slammed him, took their wallets, and walked back over in line. It was really weird. But
wow.
God, I wish I had the last 20 seconds of my life back, because that was a terrible story. But if you
No, man, it got really good. The smacking was good, and then it filtered off. But yeah. Listen, I tell people all the time, you know, you write 10 jokes and 3 are going to work. That's right. I mean, that's if you're like one of the better comics, which means right. That means 7 times you're going to eat your dick, right? So the problem now is with this culture is that all we want are punches that land. We don't want those 7 times to hit your dick. So if you tell a story like that and it doesn't get the response you want, and by the way, I'm still thinking of my nanny having COVID right now. I'm not really in that. So I'm thinking of like all the meetings that I have, I'm going to have to cancel. I'm thinking about the podcast. I have to go to the dentist tomorrow. Cause now I got to be with the, not I have to, but I had her from 9 to 1 every day with the baby so I can get work done. Well, now I can't bring in a new nanny for the thing. My wife works. So my entire week now is going to be with the baby, which I love. But also, we have to get tested for COVID. That's $300 out of our fucking wallet right now to get a test right now, a rapid test. So during that story about the slapping with the thing, my mind isn't completely there. But the point is that all we want now are punches that land. Like, and you can't have that. You're going to have punches that miss. And same thing with jokes. The problem is that people want to get you fired for punches the ones you miss. And that's like, but that's why I realized that like, I don't tweet stuff anymore that are like too controversial or even Instagram because I don't, I just save it for the stage, but now there's no fucking stage. So I'm saving it for Zoom. And even on Zoom now, people are coming in and going, trying to make sure that it's not being screen recorded or something. It's hard.
The worst part about the whole thing is some people throw 10 punches and all 10 miss, and then they get a Showtime special. So you never know who you're friends with, how it'll work out. So
yeah, that's true. Meanwhile, we have a beautiful girl who came to my show in Jersey. She fought for Invicta. She fought for Bellator. She's very awkward in her interviews. Like her interviews are like very, very like just out there. But then in real life, she's super cool. It's like the opposite of most people who are like cool in interviews and awkward in real life. But here we are. We got Deanna Bennett. Like you go on her Instagram, she's like half naked. She's with her dog all the time. She's always posing in these like provocative things. Deanna, how are you?
I'm good. I think it came in the right time.
Yes.
You just explained me perfectly. So thank you.
No problem. No problem. Now, are you in Colorado training? Or are you still in Jersey? What's going on?
I'm in Utah right now. I'm over with my mom and I'm training what I can right now. I'm still recovering from surgery because of my last fight, but right. Doing what I can. So
now your last fight was against Liz Carmouche in Bellator. And I had you winning the fight, like until you got submitted. But like it was the craziest thing because obviously I think Bellator spent a lot of money on Carmouche because the announcers were like all about Carmouche is this, Carmouche is that. And I'm like, no disrespect to her, but I'm like, Deanna's got her back right now. Like Deanna's winning this fight. Maybe she's not hurting her as much as like you want, but you're winning the fight. You're winning on points. I had you winning until you got submitted, but was I biased, am I crazy to think that?
No, actually when I after because I went to the hospital right after the fight, and when I got back I was crutching around all depressed, and my coach was like, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? I was like, at this point I don't care, I'm drugged up and I'm in pain, whatever, I don't care. He's like, just so you know, you won the scorecards on the first and the second round. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
So, you're lying. I would have won if I didn't snap my hamstring off and couldn't move. So
okay, let's talk about that. So your hamstring snapped during the fight?
Yeah, the third round. It's actually, if you see when she takes my back, it's because I stopped moving completely because I did some move. I think I went for a hip switch or something and I felt a pop and I couldn't move my hip anymore. And that's about when she jumped on my back and I couldn't do anything to defend because I couldn't move my hips at all. So I tore my hamstring off the bone about 95%. And
what's the recovery like that for that?
They said 4 to 6 months. It'll be 3 months here in a couple weeks. And I'm already doing boxing. I'm already in the gym, well ahead of schedule. It sucks. The first 2 months I was miserable. I couldn't do anything but just sit down. Well, I couldn't even sit down. I laid down because I couldn't sit down because the scar on my butt. But yeah.
Now, by the way, you're a very attractive girl. I remember you came to the comedy club. Everybody was checking you out. My uncle was like, not being creepy, but he was like, I can't believe you're a fighter. I thought you were a model. But you're always single. Like, what's going on? What's going on?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Maybe I'm just awkward. I think it's, I have a problem. You don't know those guys that they like the pull the stripper off the pole types, like the guys that go after the bad girls and like try and reform them. I think I have that just with female to male. Like, find me somebody who's a deadbeat and needs to be taken care of, and that seems to be my problem.
I'm right here, baby.
Yeah. Well, Don Fry's with us. Don, how are you?
I'm deadbeat and I need to be taken care of.
Well, perfect.
Now, Don, 12:30, you came in 20 minutes late, but that's okay. We're here with McCorkle, Wheaton Dog, and Deanna Bennett. Deanna is a former Invicta fighter, current Bellator fighter, badass fighter, but she's very lonely. And I know, Don, have you ever been with a guy who's like 50, been in wars? You know who Don Fry is, the mustache?
Yeah.
Yes,
I know.
So Don, if you were going to try to, you know, win Deanna over, what would you do?
Oh, I'd head her over to hit my club and drag her by the hair back to my cave, man. Come on.
Oh my God. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore, Don. Anything?
Is that what you want, sweetheart? Is that the man you've been waiting on?
Deanna,
I'm usually the one that hits people over the head and takes them back to my cave. So,
Don, I think.
See? Hey, what do you want me to do? Send you flowers and write you poems? No, you don't want that.
Oh, no. Blech. That sounds like the worst.
Right.
So, Deanna, you're going for like criminals and convicts and like guys in relationships. Is that what's going on?
That seems to be the issue there. Try and reform the people and. It doesn't work well at all. So,
oh man, she
ends up with me trying to block their number and ghosting them quite badly, like run to a different state kind of thing. Like, thank goodness for the pandemic because that got me out of a bad situation. I was like, oh no, pandemic hit. I can't see you again. Bye.
You were every girl I hated in high school because I would like fall in love with a girl like you. I'd become friend zoned and then you'd go for the biggest asshole. And then I'd be waiting for you to be like, realize, oh, you know what? Like, he's not the one. You're the one for me. And it never happened. It never, not like the movies. It never happened. You just end up.
Oh no. It's not like the movies at all. Definitely. Yeah. And I know I have a problem. I'm working on it. We're trying to reform here.
So. Okay. Now, Don, did you end up, I know you wanted to go see Rob Schneider New Year's Eve. Did you go see Rob?
No, I went and saw the guy who killed Bin Laden.
No, for real. Did you see Rob on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I did. It was good seeing Rob again. You know, he came in, we got word to him, he came over and we took some photos. We talked for about, 7-10 minutes, you know, and he had to go. And we stayed for most of the set, and then we left, you know, early.
Nice.
Because,
And Deanna, how was your experience with you?
It was a great time.
Nice. Deanna, what did you do on New Year's?
I hung out with my dog, honestly. I was at the gym working out, and then I went and hung out with my dog, and that's the saddest New Year's ever, but that's what I did. So
that's what I did. When I got back by 10:30, you know, and Quinn and I just hung out. We were asleep before midnight.
Wow. Yeah. I guess we're all, it's just crazy right now. Now, how's your training been via COVID? Are you training in Utah at the pit?
Yeah. Training in Utah right now. There's the pit and there's a couple other gyms that we kind of train at there. I mostly train with like Court McGee is been my main training partner like forever. He's like the reason I actually am a pro fighter basically. So I've been training with him. I'm doing what I can. Like it's been so hard with gyms opening and gyms closing and just the waves of COVID coming in with everybody. Like been rough.
No, everybody was mad at you because you missed weight by 5 pounds, right?
Yeah, that was awful.
What happened?
So I was actually having a hormone problem, a legitimate health problem with that. And I thought that I could try and figure it out and outwork it. I followed what the nutritionist said to a T, was doing my workouts hard. And then it came to the water cut and the water just would not come off at all. I sat in a freaking hot tub for 3 hours and lost about 0.2 ounces. Uh-huh. And it was absolutely miserable. I got it fixed now. We're good. Got some time to recorrect that. But, oh, that was embarrassing. That was, like, the worst moment of my life. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's my first Bellator fight. I'm waiting for this forever. And then to miss by that much, I was like, I was embarrassed by it. Like, dude, no, people I don't want to be that person.
People are going at you on Twitter and Tinder. I remember calling you up, and I'm like, just focus. I texted you. Don't worry about the rest of the people.
Yeah.
Were you reading the comments or no?
Yeah, I have that bad habit because I always have my phone in my hand. My coach gets absolutely pissed at me. He's like, will you please put that down? He literally has to take it out of my hand and, like, throw it across the room because I was like, let's see. But there, I'm like, okay, well, I got 20 people that call me a fat ass, so that's a fun one. These people said that I should go home and die, so that's a fun one too. And yeah, he's like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, apparently I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's what he said on there. And so I was like, all right, that's the quote that we're just gonna go ahead and put the phone down now. So.
All right. Now, Don, you're a legendary coach. So Deanna's coming off a loss, but she's a badass fighter. She's got amazing submissions. Her striking's getting better. Sometimes she waits too long. She keeps her hand down. She's kicked in the head a couple times. But she's a great, great fighter. What would you recommend to her, Don Fry?
Shit, I'd move up a weight class if you missed by 5 pounds. You got to work on your hands. And obviously your defense if you're getting kicked to the head. Shit.
It's been a while since I got kicked in the head. We worked on that one. We're good. I promise. We're not letting that one happen again.
Deanna, Don has been in two terrible relationships. His last girlfriend stole his horse.
It was in 1875.
He needs to find love. What advice would you give for Don Fry?
Oh, you think that I'm the one to give love advice?
No, but I think it'll be funny, though. That's why I'm saying. So, all right.
I was going to say, I was like, you don't want that from me. I think he's on something with the hit them over the head and take them back to their cave. I mean, it's proven to work for centuries, right?
A lot of girls like that.
I mean, it's true. I mean, hair pulling. You can't go wrong with hair pulling, right?
Now, Don was voted the most manliest man in MMA.
Yes.
And I mean, I would say that's true. Don, did you actually, did you know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that, but, you know, who else could be than me? I mean, this could be a reoccurring yearly thing, right?
Now, Don, why are these new breed, like the guys that Deanna's dating, like, why are they, like, such pussies? Why aren't they men like you? You know, you never cheated. You were always faithful. You were always a good guy. And same with you, Sean. What is it with this young generation of just assholes?
They're raised by women. You know, a woman can raise a boy, but she can't raise a man.
True.
Sean?
Except for one. I know Rocco. Rocco Ciattoli, my hands coach. He's the only man I know who was raised by a woman.
What about you?
Tom Fry once told me the only real men left are Russians. He told me that. And then he said some real terrible things about Obama wearing a bicycle helmet, meanwhile Putin wears nothing, doesn't wear a shirt while he rides a giant stallion. So, yeah. So I think what Deanna needs to do is find a Russian man without a criminal record to kick her in the head. And then, I don't know. I give up.
I don't know. She's such a fun girl, though. Like, it's crazy. I honestly, like, she's, you know, I think Deanna, your problem is, I feel like you're the kind of girl that, like, if we went out, it would be great. We have the best time. I'd be like, oh, my God, we're in love. And the next day, you would just break up with me. But you wouldn't give me any reason. You would just say, it's not working out. I got to go. Is there truth to that?
There probably is truth to that. I don't know. I get weird I don't like to have feelings and show them to other people. So I think that's part of my problem. I start getting attached and I'm like, all right, I'm going to hole up in my cave till those are gone, vomit those out again, and we're good. So I could
see that. Adam Bruce, and then she'd say, thank God for COVID. 300,000 old people dying. Definitely worth getting rid of Adam.
I get it. I understand. Have you thought about maybe seeing a therapist or talking to somebody?
Starting an OnlyFans account?
Yeah?
No one wants to see an OnlyFans account, that's for sure.
Oh, believe me. There's about four of them in this call right now that would sign up for your OnlyFans account.
I would have to use an alias. Okay. All right. But back to therapy, because it sounds like you have obviously you have intimacy issues. Have you thought about talking to somebody about this?
Yeah, I mean, that probably would be a good idea. I got a lot of things to cover, because if you remember, I was raised Mormon. I went to church for a long time. I was actually married before. So that could be the stemming of all my problems right there. Married to a guy that was born with dinosaurs. Like, life was hard.
Sounds like Adam's trying to get you to call him and talk to him.
I know. Can you be my therapist?
I have a therapist. I think we can go together. How long were you married for?
18 months, only because it took me about a year to actually get the paperwork finalized.
He was a fighter, right?
No, I dated a fighter for 5 years, but I was raised LDS Mormon, and I did the thing that you're supposed to do after you date somebody for a couple months. You just get married to them because that's what you do when you're Mormon. And I married him and then found out a couple months in that, one, he didn't believe in dinosaurs, and two, I didn't actually want to just be
he was a third
housewife. Third
wait, hold on. I can't believe he didn't believe in Don Fry, number one. And then what was the second thing?
He wanted me to be a housewife. It was actually when I was starting to do jiu-jitsu and starting to get into fighting. And he told me I had to pick the gym or him because he needed me home to make dinner for him every night. And so I said, I'm going to choose the gym. I'm out. And
out
the next day.
So. Wow. That's crazy. Don, that sounds worse than your marriage.
No, nothing was worse than mine. Trust me. Except for the divorce. The divorce was worse.
I honestly think that Don Fry Marriage Counselor is going to be my next TV show.
I did hear that when Deanna was putting up her husband, she was like, thank God for SARS, or I never would have got out of that relationship.
I mean, yeah, exactly. There you go.
And then you dated a fighter for 5 years. What happened there?
He quit fighting and he wanted me to quit fighting. And I was not ready to do that. So.
Oh, God.
What was his stance on dinosaurs?
He believed in them.
Okay. That's the important thing.
It's very important. You don't believe in dinosaurs, sir.
That's where most great relationships start, a mutual belief in dinosaurs, I've heard.
It's true. He actually just texted me. So it's the one I call him the dog with. So I must have felt that we were talking about it right there.
So funny. And then Don, how come your marriage didn't work? What happened?
Man, there's a whole laundry list of what happened wrong with that. So we don't want to get into that. It sounds like I'm just whining and crying.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, you got a new girlfriend though, right?
Yeah, she's laying here right next to me, you know. And she runs around, grabs a toy, chases a ball. Yeah. She's everything I need in a woman.
Ask her what her favorite dinosaur is.
But that super Tyrannosaurus Rex. Isn't that like a super T or something like that?
Probably. So, all right. So you're back training. You got a fight coming up, you think, in a couple months?
I'm shooting for end of March, beginning of April. Just give my leg enough time to fully heal, get back into wrestling, getting everything in check, and get back in. I'm dying to get back in there. So as soon as I can, healthily, We're going to do that.
Are you going to go back to New Jersey or stay in Utah?
I'm going to go back to Jersey for the fight. My coach is out in Jersey. Hopefully things aren't too crazy there with the COVID stuff. But, yeah, anytime I have a camp, I go back out there because I got the best coach out there and wouldn't fight without him.
You train with Mark Henry, right?
No, I train with Brian Wright. He's out of Killer Bee Combat Sports. It's like a very small gym, just a couple of us fighters there. And he's amazing. Like, I love training with him.
Cool. And then, Don, how far away from you from getting back into the gym?
I got a gym in my garage. I pulled all the dinosaurs out, and I got a gym there.
Nice. No, but seriously, are you close to getting back to being able to run and stuff?
No. Right now I'm fighting the sciatic nerve again. You know, I think keeps popping back up, and then so I have a little small back issues and little trouble with the shoulder still. So, but yeah, I'm probably about a year away.
Yeah, well, that's good. And then Sean, how's your back doing?
Terrible, but I'm not taking pain pills for anymore, which is good. So I'm going to go back to Germany as soon as the fake virus is over. We know I'll go back to Germany and hopefully get Regenikine done again, since Joe Rogan won't answer his messages on Twitter anymore. But I was talking to Joe, had it done in L.A., but they told me in Germany it's not the same in L.A., even though it's their, like, a sister affiliate doctor's office. They said, well, it's not the exact same treatment. So I was trying to find out from Joe, and he gave me half an answer on Twitter. So I'm trying to, I would go to L.A. It's more expensive in L.A. than Germany, which is weird, right? It's more expensive to get it done there than over in Germany with the guy that originated it. But as soon as I get that done, man, I should be considerably better. So.
Now, at one point, you were on 30 pills a day, right?
I could be that high. It just depended on what I was doing and how bad I was hurting, man.
It was like 30 oxys
for a long time, man.
It was 30 oxys a day?
It could be. I mean, 30. I mean, I've taken up to 30 Percocet before in a day just to be able to walk. And it was, everyone thought I was like,
dead off.
I don't smoke weed. Like, what happened?
Don said, that's all.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Somebody said they didn't believe in dinosaurs with that rat.
Now, when you come off 30 pills a day, how much is your body just fucked afterwards?
Like, well, it hurts so bad anyway. Even when I was taking pain pills, it hurt, so it wasn't really that much of a difference. But I always weaned out on stuff, man. I wouldn't recommend anybody stop taking any kind of painkillers all at once, you know, even with a doctor. It's a shame that they'll have people on pain management, then they'll cut them off for one reason or another, and then just tell them, like, have fun with those withdrawals for a couple of weeks, you know. I always find ways around stuff. I always beat the system. So the only thing I haven't found a way to beat is not seeing Brendan Schaub do stand-up comedy. That's the only thing I haven't found a way around. But speaking of which, Dan, what do you think about Brendan Schaub's comedy? Have you found that as great as the rest of us?
I actually have no opinion on that. I've steered clear of that personally.
That's awesome.
All right. So listen, Deanna, I'm a big fan, obviously. I think you're a wonderful person. I think we need more people like you. And I like your awkwardness. Okay.
yep.
No problem. Let me know when your next fight is. Stay healthy. Have you gotten COVID or no?
No, I haven't. Not that I know of. So I don't know how I escaped it because everyone I know has had it. So,
wow. Yeah. Same here. Same here. What about you, Fry? You haven't got COVID, right?
No, I keep chasing it, but you know it runs away from me.
Yeah. I'll just say that. COVID wears a mask around Don Fry.
Well, thank you so much, Deanna. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. You so much.
Take care.
See you guys.
That was Deanna Bennett, such a sweetheart.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
I was looking at her ass the entire time on her Instagram. She like posted a picture of like her ass, like up close. She's trying to show a scar on her butt cheek.
Why would you say that right now? Like as soon as she left.
Because she left.
I was looking at her ass the whole time. I mean, there are things, you don't have to say that out loud, Ween Dog. Jesus. I know what you're talking about too, but I think it was more like a medical thing. Like, because you could see her whole ass, and then every comment was like about the scar. Yeah. And then I felt like I should be looking at like the scar, you know, like it's one of those things where like you see like a picture and the person's naked in it, and you're like, everyone's like, oh, this is a great art. And you're like, but the person, I can see Bush, but You have to feel like you're.
Or like when a girl, like a woman posts a picture of her breastfeeding her child. It's like, I'm trying to look at that titty. Even though there's a baby attached to it, I'm still trying to see that titty.
Like move that baby's head, yeah.
McCorkle just looks down. The best is like when you get embarrassed. When Sean gets embarrassed, it's the best. He's like, what the fuck's going on? Where did I find these people?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm just embarrassed you guys believe in dinosaurs.
All right, so quick. All right, quick predictions. MMA predictions for 2021. I predict Henry Cejudo will come back. I think he'll win it. I think he'll beat Figueroa, and I think he'll beat the 35-pound champ too. I don't know who that is right now. No, actually, Aljamain, I think will beat Peter Yan at 135. I think
is Yan the champ right now? Yan's the champ.
They're going to fight for the champ.
Peter Yan is the champ at 135.
Oh, he's a champ. At, I think that Khabib will not come back. I think he will stay retired. And Colby versus Usman will be the fight of the year. I think Colby will beat Masvidal. I don't know who wins the rematch, him versus Usman. I'm almost leaning towards Colby because it looked so good in his last fight against Woodley. I think Stipe beats Ngannou again. And John Jones, I hate to say it, but I think might get the best of Stipe. Predictions, McCorkle.
Pretty hard to argue with any of those, man. Like, I hope by the end of the year's end, man, that something's like it can actually go to UFC. Like, I'd like to see things back to normal to some degree at any point, man. You know, like it, like they got Trump out of office with the fake disease, right wing dog. Like, that's all it was about. So,
yep.
I don't know what the angle is, man, but hopefully we get somewhat back to normal. Cause it's just weird, man. It's creepy out here. I don't know.
Don Fry, what are your MMA predictions?
Oh shit. I think you're right. I think, Colby will be, the fighter of the year. You know, who's the big, heavyweight from Africa?
Ngannou.
Yeah, I know, man. That guy's a killer. I think he'll get the belt and hold on to it tight, you know. Nobody will come close to him because he'll get his shit together and just a knockout win. I'm with you. I don't think. Shit. I don't think the Russian will come back, you know.
Khabib,
yeah. But Connor's going to come back, and he's going to make another $100 million, you know, and make some more whiskey and get another couple bar fights.
Ween Dog, predictions.
Well, Adam, I agree with pretty much all of your predictions, but I think Francis is going to beat Stipe in their rematch. I think John Jones is going to fight Francis. I think John Jones is going to win that fight. And I think they're going to try to make the Israel Adesanya versus John Jones fight, maybe at light heavyweight, but I don't know if, because John Jones said he wants to stay at heavyweight. He has no plans of going back to light heavyweight. I think Dustin Poirier beats Conor McGregor. I think Poirier fights maybe Justin Gaethje for the belt at some point. Maybe Colby Covington is going to go against Masvidal on the Ultimate Fighter. They're both going to coach it and then fight sometime in the year. I hope Colby fights Usman again. I think he will win the rematch. Other than that, I have no idea. Maybe Amanda Nunes retires. You know, maybe she fights Megan Anderson and then retires afterwards. Rose Namajunas might fight Weili Zhang. I don't know who wins that fight, honestly, because that's a good-ass fight. But there's so much good shit that could happen this year, and I agree with Sean. It really sucks not having UFC events without an audience or with, you know what I'm saying? I really miss the audience because I'm watching these old UFC fights, and it's so interesting how we've sort of become accustomed now to these fights with no audience at all. And going back and watching these fights with like a massive crowd, it's kind of sad, man. I very much miss those days. So I hope they come back soon.
Well, listen, that is our podcast. Make sure you can stream my special now on UFC Fight Pass. Adam Hunter throwing punches. Anything you guys want to promote? Ween Dog?
Twitch.tv/WeenDog and TikTok at the Ween Dog.
Sean?
No, I'm suspended on Facebook and I don't use Twitter or Instagram anymore. So I'm pretty much social media list. which leaves me with a lot of time to have to live real life and not have, you know, Terry Silver like battles with people. But, I just want to become a billionaire now and find a karate student to get some excitement back in my life. That's the direction I'm headed.
Don, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, Dan and Don's Toxic Masculinity will be kicking off probably about the third week of January. If not, then we'll be in February.
Well, you know what? I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I do listen to that one on repeat. I can't wait. Thank you guys so much. It was great seeing you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, man.
Take care, guys.
Yep.